Hi, my name is Aldum, and my twin brother's name is Adam. He and I are like two peas in a pod, only our lives are different, completely different. Until recently, we didn't even know each other existed. I grew up in a poor family, living with my father. Dad worked as a loader and construction worker, when he had to, it all depended on the season. I helped him as much as I could on the construction site, but Dad always reminded me that I had more important things to do. My studies. He dreamed that I would go to college, get a good education, and live a better life than he did. My dad is great. He's very simple and always understood me, especially after my mum died. Honestly, I don't remember her at all, because she died in childbirth. But I have pictures of her, one even when she was pregnant. I always wondered how big her womb was because my mum's tummy was big. My dad and I especially loved going through the family album. Dad has never been married since then. Sometimes he would drink and cry, very long and bitterly. At such times, he would ask to be left alone, but I often heard him asking her forgiveness for something, talking to her, apparently with her picture and repenting. I thought maybe they had a fight and he didn't have time to make up with her, or maybe something happened. I couldn't think at the time what was behind those words of forgiveness. Sometimes I used to talk to my mum too. I felt like she was answering. Sometimes, in the middle of the night, when I was laying in bed and couldn't sleep, I thought she wanted to talk to me. Sometimes I could feel her feeling bad, sad or anxious. I tried to send her the signal that I loved her, even though I didn't know her personally. My dad and I would visit her grave and take care of her. That's how we lived. One day, my father came home very upset. He sat down at the table and reported that things were bad at work. The order was almost finished and there was no one new.
There's a winter coming. We're going to have higher electricity and heating bills. Honestly, I don't even know how we're going to live, he said.
I saw how embarrassed he was. I tried to calm him down, and then I told him that we will get through this, promising to help. For example, by shoveling snow from the yards for money to anyone who wants it.
You don't have to do that. You're just a teenager.
But I'm not a baby, so I can do it, Dad.
Thank you, son.
It would have been cool if I had a brother or a little brother.
Why would you say that?
Well, the two of us would want to help you. It would be faster and more fun together. Or I could teach him how to cook, and he could cook us dinner.
Maybe.
Okay, Dad, you go get some rest. I'll do the dishes and go to bed too. That was the end of the conversation, and so was Dad's job a month later. With the first snow, I grabbed a shovel in my hands and cleared the yards or my neighbor's cars, getting up early in the morning before school to get everything done. Sometimes I also did it by the fans. It wasn't much money at all, but it was better than nothing. After a couple of weeks, we got lucky. A friend of my dad's came running in and said she had found a job for me and my dad. It was just as my school was starting its winter break. She said that a new family had come in three blocks away, and they needed repairs inside the house for a good fee, so we could get everything done before Christmas. We were very excited, and we agreed. The very next day, we got to work. There wasn't much to do, so it was just a joy. There were only servants there, and the house was bought by a married couple. It turned out that they were still in Europe, but had to come straight to the new house for Christmas. The work was boiling. We were all fed and paid too. By Christmas, we had almost finished everything. There were just a few small things left. Then my friends asked me to go for a walk around town for Christmas, and my dad let me go. We had a great time, bought gifts for the family, and then a very nice, expensive car rolled into town. Everyone paid attention to it. I went to the bathroom while my friends were waiting outside the store, and when I came out, they were gone. I thought it was a prank, looked for them, but they were nowhere to be found. I called Tom, and he said he had something to show me. I walked around the building and saw the guy standing by the car whispering.
What's going on?
The guy who owns the car, he's just like you.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious. He looks exactly like you.
Well, sometimes people look alike.
They don't look exactly alike.
All right, I hear you. Let's go home. When we walked away, I turned my head and saw the guy come out of the store and get in the car. I was surprised then how much he looked like me. I went to my dad and we went home.
I'll have to be there tomorrow morning to finish some things.
But it's Christmas tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, but it's half an hour. You can stay home. I'll do it and I'll be there.
No, I'll go with you. I don't want to be home alone, I told my father. And the next Christmas morning, we went to work together. In the yard of the house, I saw that very car and realized that it was the owner's son. I went to the bathroom for a while, and when I got to the room where Dad was working, I heard Dad talking to someone.
What are you wearing? Come on, take it off!
What? What are you talking about? Who are you?
Look, this is no time for jokes. I'm serious. Take off that robe.
What for?
Where did you get it?
In the room.
What are you doing in other people's rooms?
Excuse me? Cheese, who are you?
Aldum, stop it!
I'm Adam. I was very confused by their conversation and walked into the room and was shocked. The three of us looked at each other and didn't understand what was going on. My face and this Adam's face went pale, and my father passed out and collapsed on the floor. The maid came running in, and with her, Adam's father and mother. They also froze and staggered. We were all silent as my father came to his senses. I was so excited I wanted to run away, but Adam's parents asked me to stay and discuss something. Adam's mum sat us down in the kitchen and said that she and her husband and my dad had something to talk about, but then my dad got all teary-eyed and started making some kind of slurred speech.
We knew right away that we were having twins, two boys. May had waited and dreamed so much for these babies, but the birth was too hard. She lost a lot of blood and couldn't be saved, and I had no idea how to handle two.
Adam's mum suddenly interrupted him and continued the story.
I was running around the hospitals that day, getting another doctor's refusal to get pregnant. I hadn't been able to get pregnant for years, and I had been dreaming so much. And suddenly I saw your father. He was holding you in his arms. You were crying so hard, asking for food, and he was sitting on the floor just crying. I volunteered to help, and 2 weeks later, I talked your daddy into giving us one of the boys. I wanted to take the two of you, but...
And my father interrupted again.
But your mother wouldn't forgive me. All these years I've been living with guilt about what I did, but I wouldn't have been able to feed two. Forgive me, sons.
Adam and I sat against each other and didn't utter a word. We were in shock. I understood my father, his decision and his fear. It was worse for Adam. He didn't know he was adopted. A little later he got in the car and drove away. We wanted to leave, but Adam's mum talked us into eating Christmas dinner with them. I couldn't get a bite in my throat, but I knew it was necessary for Dad. I went out of the yard to get some air and saw Adam's car. I found him inside, and I asked to get in the car. We were silent at first, and then he started on his own. I found the paperwork before I came out, found out I was adopted. I felt bad, really bad. I flew here and made a wish to find my parents.
Are you mad at Father?
I was angry at first, but when I found out that he did it out of need and not because I was bad, I was...
relieved?
Yeah, I also wished I'd had a brother. I think I felt you. Sometimes I got really sad, especially the last few days. I guess it's because of me. We're twins, but I'm glad I found you. We went back to the house together and decided to spend Christmas together too. After a couple of hours, the mood improved, and we tried to live it all out together. We welcomed the new year, and we decided we were going to communicate. Adam was still the son of that couple anyway, especially since he lived better than we did. We decided to leave things as they were, just to communicate more closely. But I was glad to have a brother after all. We got each other for Christmas.
Hello everyone, my name is Tom. At first you will think that my story is more like going to the movies, but unfortunately, this is a harsh reality, and I would like to share it with you. Since I can't tell anyone else about it, especially those who once knew me, I started life with a clean slate and there were good reasons for that. Now I will tell you more. From the very beginning, my life was hectic. The fact is that I grew up in terrible conditions. My father left my mother when he first found out that she was pregnant. My mother, Phoebe, was very worried about it, so she said, "We have no relatives. There was no one to help us. All we had was a small apartment that Phoebe inherited from her dead parents." Don't be surprised that I call her by her first name. It's just easier for me. My mother did not have a high sense of motherhood. I remember once, when I was 4 years old, she left for a few days somewhere, without even saying where. I was locked in the house alone, leaving no food or water. I had to eat what I found, toothpaste, something from the trash, I drank my own urine, and when on the third day I was already completely exhausted on the kitchen floor, she arrived. I think if my mother and I hadn't happened to have a neighbor drop by that day, she wouldn't have done anything and left me on the floor. But our neighbor, Mrs. Friendly, is an old grandmother, and she took me to the hospital. My mother was only worried about being sent to prison, but somehow it all worked out. About a couple of weeks, I lived with a neighbor, so I have not eaten so well yet. She fed me so well, washed me, put me to bed. Although Mrs. Friendly was old, she was adept at handling children. She lived alone. Maybe that's why she paid all her attention only to me. My mother was jealous. Imagine, even though she didn't take care of me, she was jealous of my grandmother, and when I got better, she took me home again. I remember the scandal. The neighbor did not want to give me away, scolded my mother for her behavior, but she did not want to hear criticism. She said that I was her son, and she knew how to treat me. So she took me. My mother had taken another job, and now she was almost always gone. At this time, I ran to Mrs. Friend's to eat and sleep. We had a great time. I loved her probably more than my mother. Agree, whatever the mother was, the child still loves her, just a little less. Despite all the conditions, I grew up, and when it was time to go to school, my mother, of course, did not give me away. And then the whole nightmare started. Some men started coming to our house. They were unfamiliar to me. My mother usually made me sit in the hallway at this time. I could sit there for hours. And only then I began to run away to the neighbor. Phoebe didn't know we were still in touch, because I knew she was against it. I could spend half a day or half a night at Mrs. Friendly's without Phoebe noticing that I wasn't there. And then I would run to my seat when a man came out, and I would pretend to sit there all the time. The neighbor was shocked by what was happening, but could not do anything. And when I turned 14, I was determined to run away from home. I didn't know where to go, and I shared all my secrets with Mrs. Friendly. She begged me to stay with her, but I couldn't, because Phoebe would have found me. One day a neighbor talked to my mother, offered to take me away for upbringing, like she would take care of me, but my mother went berserk. I didn't understand why she needed me, because she was still indifferent to my existence. To which Mrs. Friendly replied that deep down in her heart, she probably hated herself for being such a mother, but she had buried herself too deep, and it was very difficult to get out. And I was only a small memory of a better life for her, for which there is no hope anymore. Then I definitely decided that it was time for me to leave. And then Mrs. Friendly came up with a clever idea. What if I changed my face? This would give me the opportunity to live with her, have a roof over my head, and most importantly, I would get what I wanted, care, and moreover, I would no longer have to hide from my mother. But how to do it? The operation was unthinkable because it was expensive and I needed my mother's permission. Besides, it's going to take a hell of a long time. Then we found a faster and more painless way, makeup. It was lucky that Mrs. Friendly had worked as a theater cleaner before, and she had good friends with makeup artists from there. In just an hour, they made a different person out of me. I changed my style of dress, put lenses in my eyes, tried to walk a different gait. I had my hair dyed a different color, but most importantly, with the help of cosmetics, I had a different face. I didn't recognize myself when I looked in the mirror, and I was very happy. Mrs. Friendly spread the news that her granddaughter was visiting her indefinitely while her daughter was abroad. Everyone believed her, because they knew that she really had a grown-up daughter. And I stupidly packed up and left, leaving a note for my mother not to look for me. I wrote that I left in search of a better life, without her. I was not sorry, especially since I had the opportunity to observe her life out of the corner of my eye. At first, she excited the neighbors, asked her for help to raise money to arrange a search, but the initiative lasted about 2 hours, after which another man came to her and she closed the apartment door. And I was relieved to be at Mrs. Friendly's, to have a new home, a family, and a quiet life. I helped Mrs. Friendly do the housework, cooked the food, she taught me that, cleaned up. And then they gave me documents in a different name and I finally went to school. I was very late in my years, but it didn't bother me. Better late than never. Mrs. Friendly got a good pension, benefits for the bills, and when I was on vacation, I worked part-time at a cafe, then at a car wash. This money was enough for us to live. It took about 1.5 months, and I came home from school. On the way up in the elevator, my mother came to see me. Wearily, she named the floor and then greeted me. "I know you. You're Mrs. Friendly's grandson, right?" she asked. I just nodded my head, and she went on as if she were talking to herself. And I lost my son, or rather, he ran away from me. I'm not a very good mother, I know, but I can't help it. He's about your age and even looks a bit like you. He's a nice boy, but I don't deserve him, so I'm not looking for him. Wherever he is, he's better off there than with me, she said, as if exhaling, and I noticed the tears in her eyes. Her words made me uneasy, and I had no idea how to react. And then we arrived, and I got out of the elevator, and my mom said, "If you see him, tell him I'm sorry," she concluded. As if she knew it was me. I paused for a moment, then continued down the hall. I told Mrs. Friendly about it, and she smiled and asked if I wanted to visit my mother, but I said no. If I hadn't gone missing, she wouldn't have said those words. Even though I felt sorry for her too, I couldn't find the strength to forgive her, nor did she ask for it. We'd been neighbors for a couple of years now, and I'd continued to grow, study, and take care of Mrs. Friendly. I made friends and my life changed, and then I learned the sad news. There was an ambulance at the entrance. I thought it was for us and was very scared, and then I found out that she had come to my mother. I ran into the apartment for the first time in so many years. It was terrible. Dirty, dusty, there was a terrible smell, and my mother was lying on the floor. She was barely breathing. I pushed the doctors aside and ran to her. I wanted to cry. I was afraid. My hands were shaking, and I wanted to cry. I asked, "What's wrong with you?" And my mother said, "Forgive me if you can," and closed her eyes. My mother left me a letter that said, "I know it's you, and I was happy to see you living next to me and doing well. I'm sorry. I love you. I'll leave the apartment to you and Mrs. Friendly, Mom." I read the letter right after her funeral. She died of an overdose. Most of all, I was uneasy at the thought that she knew it was me and did not even try to return it. She just let me go. Maybe she's not such a bad mother after all, do you think? I've forgiven her, and they don't hold grudges against the dead. But I'm sorry too.